Well, welcome to Open Door Baptist Church, everybody. We're so glad to have you all here this morning. We all please stand as our children open us up with worship today. They're going to tell us why we shouldn't be a lot like ourselves, because we're not perfect, but we should be a whole lot more like Jesus. Amen. Please bow your head as we open up with prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I praise you and thank you. I thank you for these children here at the church this morning who are learning that it's not about them, God. It's all about you. And you are our example, and you are what we strive to become. And we can only do that through the sacrifice of your blood and through your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us this morning, that everything we do here that points to you and brings glory and honor to your name. And I pray the anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon the pastor as he brings your word to us today. And I thank you for it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated for a minute.
Good morning. So far, we have collected $317 towards our goal of $4,000 for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. The Week of Prayer for North American Missions begins today. And normally there would be an insert in your bulletins, but I forgot to cover all my bases this morning. So if you're interested in getting one of these, they will be out on the welcome desk. Also, there will be a video shown each day on the church Facebook page. If you would like to donate to the Annie Armstrong offering today, you will find envelopes in the pews in front of you. Please drop your envelopes and the offering plates in the back of the sanctuary. Thank you for praying for giving to support North American missions. Please pray that the Annie Armstrong funds will be used wisely, and pray that our missionaries would remain true to the Lord and to his word. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Pam. Appreciate that. And we all please stand as we continue with worship this morning.
Water you turned into wine.
give our God a hand this morning. Amen. You know, in all the religions in the world, our God is the only one who sent his son to die for us. Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we do shout hallelujah. You are so worthy to be praised, and you are life-changing. Lord, we just thank you for touching our lives and bringing your spirit into this place, the spirit of worship. We pray that this was glorifying to you, Lord, that we sang from our hearts songs of love, songs of appreciation. Lord, we love you, and we want you to be lifted on high. So, Lord, this morning we just pray as we continue in this service that you will bless the preaching of your word. You will bless the reading of your word. Lord, that you will help us to understand. You will help us to grow and to mature, Lord, that we will have strength because we've been in the presence of you in the teaching of your word. And, Lord, as always, if I'm going to say something or do something that is not right or say something that's not right, please silence my lips and rise up the one to speak for you in this day. Why? Again, it's your glory. You're so worthy to be praised. And all of God's people said, amen and hallelujah. Amen. Well, thank you, praise man. You guys are getting better. Well, it's nice to have you all back. Satan's been having a field day with a lot of our people, and I'm sure you all have felt some of that yourself. But we have some great news. I want to start out in keeping this going strong and great. We've had three births in the church this week. Yes, three. I know, right? Three. Now, listen, I can't know if I can pray, but we have a new set of grandparents sitting right here. Right there, Grandma and Grandpa. Kayla and Dalton had a baby daughter, and she is absolutely gorgeous. Just telling you, she takes after Carrie Ann. So, but Eliana, is that, am I saying that right? Eliana. And then also Chantel, that usually sits here, she's absent today. I mean, she did have a baby here just a couple days ago. And she had a baby girl, Alyssa. And we had one more birth in the church. You're probably all wondering who that is, aren't you? Well, our young man Hunter right here during the YEC conference on Friday night gave his life to Christ. So look, stay faithful. Stay faithful. God is at work. And we have so many blessings to be thankful for. We want to think of all the bad things, but let's think of the great things that the Lord has done. Amen? Amen. And I'm just impressed. I went over to Cynthia. I said, you made it through another one. She goes, yep. So YEC is a huge event, and kids like to stay up all night. Thank God for young ones, right? All right, you have your Bibles. Say, I got them. I got them. Say, I got my phone in my Bible. I got my phone, right? So listen, open up to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm still in this little mini-series, A Faith That Transforms. A Faith That Transforms. This is number 3 in there. And A Faith That Transforms supports others, okay? As we begin to look at the life of Saul, who we now know as Paul, we can't help but remember the divine transformation that took place on the road to Damascus. When Saul was transformed from a non-believer to Paul, he's transformed from Saul the non-believer to Paul the believer. And as that transformation occurred, immediately Paul followed Jesus Christ and became obedient to him in service. And as we look at Paul's life, we will find out that Paul's life became one of complete and total surrender to Jesus Christ, first and foremost above everything else in his life, which in turn manifested itself, it evidenced itself, right? It manifested itself into complete and total surrender to the service of the church, which ironically is what he once persecuted and tried to stop, right? But now, in his new life-transforming faith, we will watch as Paul preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ for the purpose of building the church. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about building a building. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the body of believers. I'm talking about you and me, you and I here today, right? Where Paul went from persecutor to preacher, from destructor to builder, God is just cool, right? He's just cool. That's just how God does that, right? Well, that's what happens when Jesus Christ gets a hold of a life, is he transforms it. Old things pass away and all things become new, right? He transforms it. You see, Paul was in Christ, but more importantly than that, Christ was in Paul. So that's the big difference, right? And Christ had a plan for Paul. If you're saved, you're a born-again believer, you're saved, listen to me, Christ has a plan for your life. He had a plan for Paul, and the plan was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And just for your information, that's you and me, folks. A Gentile is simply a non-Jew. You're not Jewish, you're Gentile, right? But think about this. If we were to trace this all the way back, I'm sure each single one of us would find that Paul's influence is somewhere in ancestry of our salvation. That's pretty cool. Like I said, God is cool, right? Well, today we will learn that in order for Paul to be successful in fulfilling God's call to be a leader and a successful servant, he will have to rely on the faithfulness of others. Let me say that again. In order for Paul to be a successful servant, he will have to rely on the faithfulness of others. How many times will I tell you, it's not me, it's we, right? It's not me. I can't do this on my own. I cannot do it. We will never be successful if it's all put upon me. It has to be we. So he's relying on these other servants, right? On those whose lives have been transformed by faith as well, right? Transformed believers who trusted in Jesus and trusted and believed that he was doing something amazing through and in the life of Paul. They had to believe in his mission and what he was doing, right? But know this truth. I want you to get this truth and understand this truth. No man, no leader, no ministry is successful on his own. It just won't happen. Your ministry, my ministry, whosoever ministry it is, you cannot be successful in that ministry without the support of others. If one person is doing it all, it will fail. Trust me. So turn with me. Let's look at this in the book of Acts. We're going to begin in chapter 9, verse 23. Acts chapter 9, verse 23 through 31. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched in the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Listen, sometimes in your ministry, you're going to get afraid. Just putting that out there, right? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Verse 29. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. Hellenists were Jews from outside Israel. They were from the outside. Disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Well, today's message is for those who invest their lives in supporting and serving others. That's really what this is. It's a message for those who invest their lives in supporting and serving others. Understand, our brother Paul would have never been a successful leader if it weren't for those who were holding the ropes. Look at these disciples in verse 25. They took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. So that he, why? So that he could escape from the Jews who were plotting to kill him, right? Now, although the text does not mention the ropes, you're all looking in your text for the word ropes. Listen, I certainly believe that it is implied that there were ropes attached to the basket holding Paul, right? We can assess that and see that they're letting him down this inside this wall, right? They're letting him down over a wall into this basket. Look. Otherwise, there had to be people holding rope. Otherwise, Paul in the basket would have had quite the rough landing, right? So there was most definitely ropes attached to the basket. And hear what? And someone was definitely holding the other end. Someone's holding the other end of that rope as the basket was lowered over the wall. So let's look at those who held the ropes for Paul and see what we can learn. So here's point number one. Let's look at the anonymous. The anonymous. Let's call them the anonymous servant, all right? Look back again with me at verse 23. Look what it says. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Now, let me ask you this. Who was holding the ropes? Who was holding the ropes? I think it's interesting that the text does not tell us. It doesn't tell us who was holding ropes, but instead simply it refers to the disciples. Yeah, we know they were disciples, but who were they? What were their names? Listen, we have no idea who they were, nor were we told who they were. In fact, we are not given any information about these disciples at all. We are not told their names. We are not told where they came from. We are not told their occupation. In fact, we're not told anything about them except their disciples. All we know that they were disciples of Christ who obviously supported the work that Paul was doing. And listen, it is important to understand that when Luke was penning this book and was writing this, Paul didn't have to go over to Luke and say, "Hey, Luke. Man, look, don't forget to mention, as you're writing this stuff down, don't forget to mention John the fisherman and Joe the camel keeper, these disciples. Don't forget to mention them. Don't forget to mention these guys who held the ropes and got me over the wall back in Damascus when the Jews were trying to kill me. Don't forget to write their names down." Paul didn't say that, nor did the Holy Spirit prompt him to write their names. Remember, Paul didn't come and say, "Remember to put their names in there, Luke. Don't forget to put names in there, Luke." Why? Because we don't want anybody to get offended that we didn't mention their name. Oh, tell me, trust me, it's happened. It's happened. Understand, Luke didn't have to do that. Because it didn't matter. That's why it didn't matter who got the credit as long as the work got done. Boy, that's a mentality right there, right? It didn't matter who got the credit because as long as the work got done. Understand, the disciples holding the ropes that day were ordinary people just like you and me. Just ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill disciples of Christ. People who just wanted to help their leader accomplish extraordinary things for an extraordinary God. There were no great or small servants that day. There was no "I'm this and you're that." There was no great or small servants that day. They were all merely servants trying to glorify God. They were one team. Not me, but we. They were one team working together for the common good. What? To make Jesus known. You know, more times than not, the team with the best player doesn't always win the game. I know there's some sports people in here, and listen, I think if you would look at me, you agree with me. The team with the best player doesn't always win the game. Right, Brother Kenny? He's a sports nut, so I'll pull him out. Let me explain. Years ago, I coached rec league soccer in Bethany, and there were two teams in the same age bracket, meaning there weren't too many kids. We had to make two teams in the same age bracket. Now, I will tell you, I didn't ever have a team with the best and highest scoring kids on it. I may have had one or two kids who were better than the rest, but for the most part, average or below average athletes. And I can't say that today, right? That's not correct, right? They just didn't have the skills, right? However, the other team, on the other hand, always seemed to get this one kid. I'm not going to name him out. He doesn't need to be named. He always had this one kid. He was superior as an athlete. He was better than the rest. He was an absolute exceptional soccer player. But the problem with that was this. He was so superior to everyone else that I think that he believed that he had to play the entire game all by himself. Meaning this, wherever the ball was, he was. We have a term for that. What's that called? Ball hog, right? Right? And if you know anything about soccer, to be where the ball is, that's a whole lot of running. That's why I coached it and did play it. All right? It's a whole lot of running. But you know what? Even though this kid was a superior athlete, and he was, this kid was a superior athlete, he could not do it all by himself. Why? Because he got tired. He just got worn out. He's playing the whole game all by himself. So he got tired, and he ran out of energy. Anybody feel like that? He got tired and ran out of energy. But that's what happens when you rely on one guy to do all the work. Therefore, my team always won against the other team every time. We always won against the other team, and we always won in the local playoffs. When we got to go downstate to the playoffs, but we had local playoffs. We always beat this team with that superior athlete on it. And the reason was this, is because my kids, although they were average or below average athletes, you know what they did? They played together. They played together. Every kid played their part. They played their position on the field as a team, not as individuals. You've heard the saying, there's no I in team, right? Listen, the point is this. When everyone pitches in and does their job and they do it well, success generally always follows, just like it did for Paul. I want you to notice something. The disciples who held the ropes were not in the spotlight. They were not even known. They weren't preachers. They weren't miracle workers. They were nothing more than rope holders. But because of them, I want you to think of this, because of them doing their part, as insignificant as it may have seemed, that because of them, the gospel spread and the church grew. Now, how important is it now? Right? Because of them, the gospel spread and the church grew. Listen, without the help of the rope holders that day and people like them to this very day, listen to me very closely. It's people like this. If it wasn't for them, the church will not be successful in fulfilling the Great Commission. It will not happen. Paul needed these rope holders. Paul needed the rope holders. If the gospel message was going to spread, he needed rope holders. Understand, this is no small position. There is no small position in the ministry. There's no small position in ministry for the cause of Christ. And no matter how small you think the job is, listen, it's absolutely huge in the eyes of God if it's for His church. Those rope holders was just as significant to God as Paul was. Listen, the purpose of the church is simply this, to know Jesus and to make Him known. Period. And if you have a part in that, no matter how big or how small, trust me when I tell you, it's all part of God's bigger picture. For instance, how many of you knew that we have a team of rope holders who prepare and get communion ready for us when we do communion? You all know who they are? Yeah, see, you don't know. I know who they are. And if I, you couldn't guess. I'm even looking in the direction of who they are. Most of you wouldn't even guess who they are. I'm going to point them out. Not because they want noticed, nor do they need noticed. But I just want to tell you how important it is, and no matter how old you are, it's those three kids sitting in the second pew. They have a part. No matter how big or small, trust me, I'm tell you, it's the bigger picture. For instance, how many of you know that we have a team of rope holders who prepare to not only get communion ready, but how many do you know that do you have people who clean it up? That you may realize that someone must set it all up, but do you know how, that someone has to clean it up? I guess the majority of you don't know. But let me tell you this, however, their willingness to come out early and to stay a little later would not be able, we would not be able to participate in the communion of the Lord's Supper. Or how many of you know that we have rope holders here at Open Door who shops for, prepares, and delivers food baskets to families at need in our community? Listen, I don't need to say their names because I happen to know this person wants no credit for hanging on to the food ministry ropes. But let me tell you what these food baskets do. They show the community around us that we will serve them and love them just as Jesus does. And let me just add this. True Christianity is always about serving others before it's about you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 tells us this. In humility, we are to, what? In humility, we are to consider others better than ourselves or higher than ourselves, right? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, we are told that since we have liberty, that means freedom in Christ, since we have been freed in Christ through His love, we are to serve one another. We are commanded to serve one another. That's why our church purpose and our church mission statement are the exact same. Our purpose and mission statement are the same. To love God, to love others, and serve both. And if we hold true to this principle, if we hold true to this, we will reap the same rewards. Look at verse 31. That the church had peace and was edified. The church had peace and was edified. That means they learned. They were built up. They were made stronger. And then look at verse 32. Walked in the fear of the Lord and had the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And they multiplied. Meaning they grew in number. They grew spiritually. Right? They grew in the church began to grow numerically. Listen, I don't know about you, but this is the kind of church that I want to be a part of. This is an impacting church. This is the kind of church I want to be a part of. A church that is being moved by God and through a transforming faith that serves God and serves others. That's what I want. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. Listen, nobody remembered their names, but billions have seen the result of their work. Let the same be said of us here at Open Door Baptist Church. Amen. Let's go point number two. I would like to look at the dedicated. The dedicated. Let's call it the dedicated servant, right? Did you notice in verse 25 when it was? Did you notice in verse 25 when it was that they lowered Paul in the basket? It was at night, right? It was at nighttime. And I have to tell you, nighttime is not always the most convenient time to be called out to serve, is it? Right? It isn't, right? But many of you have done it, right? I know I have, and I've done so willingly and gladly when I'm called up on. But I got to tell you, nighttime for these guys posed a danger that really would be unknown to us. You got to remember the times that they're in. You have to remember there would not have been lights on the street corners. There would not have been flashlights to carry. But even more than that, Christians were in danger of being killed. Don't forget that. They were in danger of being killed. If you remember, Paul initially was on his way there with arrest warrants in his hands and threats of murder on his mind. Remember that? Until before his transformation on the road there to Damascus, right? And Paul would not have been alone in his quest to rid the world of Christians. He would have had a posse with him. He had guys with him to come to make those arrests and to take them back to the high priest, right? Because there were most certainly others looking to make good on the warrants that had been issued. They would want to please the high priest, right? So they would want to follow through on this. We know that because, look at verse 24. We read that they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And later, when Paul was in Corinth, he was still talking about how in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 32, how the governor in Damascus was guarding the city with a garrison desiring to arrest them. Listen, this garrison would have been a military force to be certain. They'd been somebody to reckon with, and they were on a mission to capture anyone proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Not just Paul, anybody who was proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. So understand, great danger existed for these disciples. And although it was the middle of the night, and although it would have been inconvenient and dangerous, I do not hear any notation in Luke's account, right? I don't see anything in Luke's account that these guys were grumbling and complaining. Nowhere do I see that these guys were saying, oh, come on, man. This is a heavy load. I can't do it. I got a sore back. My shoulder's hurting me. I'm done with this. It's just too hard. Come on, man. Understand, no one let go of the ropes. I want you to notice this. No one let go of the ropes. Nobody took off. Nobody made any excuses. Nobody left until the job was done. But you know what else I don't see? I don't see any excuses. Y'all thought you were going to get a feel-good sermon, didn't you? I don't see any excuses. I mean, think about it. How easy would have it been to said, you know what? You want me to do? You need me to hold the ropes? Well, let me pray about it first. Or listen, I've got a ton of other things going on right now. I just can't. I'm busy. I can't roll the ropes. Listen, man, I don't have any rope holding experience. I've never held a rope before. I don't have any rope holding experience. Hold the ropes. Man, I've had a long day. I'm tired. I'm just worn out. I'm just going to hope you find somebody else to hold the rope. Sorry, can't help tonight. I have to work in the morning. You know what? I've held enough ropes in my day. It's time for the younger ones to step up and do something. You got life. You got breath. You've got a call. Need help? Well, I'd like to, but, right? There's that word, right? I'd like to, but I got to cut my grass. I don't have to cut my grass. You got to cut grass? You don't cut grass, do you? What? Do you cut grass? Cynthia cuts the grass, doesn't she? Jason cuts the grass. You notice I didn't ask him. He's an extended poor guy. Listen, I'd like to hold the rope, but I got to cut grass or I can't. I got a ball game. I got a baby shower. I got to bath my dog. I got to get my cat neutered. I have to get a root canal. You make it up, whatever it is. Listen, there are lots of reasons and excuses that we use. This is my point. There's a lot of reasons and excuses that we use when we are called to serve. There's a lot of reasons why we say we can't. Would you agree with that? Here's the question then. The question is this. Will these excuses satisfy God when you stand before Him and He asks you, what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? Will this satisfy God when we tell Him why we couldn't serve the purpose for which He saved us? However, these disciples, notice, they held the ropes with dedication so that the gospel would spread and the church would continue to grow. And they served because of their love for Paul, a fellow brother in Christ. But more importantly than that, they served because of their love for Jesus Christ and His church. That's above all. I can remember one time, I'm not going to call these people out, but they're great servants of this church, and they came and they did something, served at the church, and they were walking out the door, and I said, hey, thank you guys. And they said, for what? I said, for what you just did. And they're like, why are you thanking us? We didn't do it for you. Amen. That's right. Amen, right? Look, they did it because of the love of Jesus Christ and His church, and they gave no excuses or offered no complaints. This is all they knew. This is all that they knew. Someone looked and said, hey, will you help? And without hesitation, they grabbed a hold of the ropes and they hung on with all that they had. Even, watch, even in the midst of danger. They got a hold of the ropes and held with all they had, even in the midst of danger. Why? For the greater good of the gospel. Which leads me to point number three, that those who held the ropes were this, the hopeful. The hopeful. Let's call them the hopeful servant, all right? The hopeful. Now, one final thing that I noticed in this text is this. I noticed that when the rope holders let Paul down over the wall, when they're letting them down over the wall, they did so without knowing what would happen next. They didn't have all the details. They didn't know everything that was going on. They did so without knowing what happened next. They didn't know what would happen to Paul. They knew that there was a death warrant out for him, right? They knew that they were trying to kill him. So they didn't know what would happen to Paul. They didn't know if he would abandon the faith or if he would hold steadfast to his belief in Jesus Christ. They didn't know if they'd ever see him again. They didn't know if he was ever coming back. They didn't know anything about what the future held for Paul and the church. They had absolutely no idea if they would ever see Paul again, nor did they know if he would accomplish anything else for the church. They were serving by faith alone. Listen, it would be a whole lot easier if we were able to see the bigger picture first, wouldn't it be? Huh? How many want to see the bigger picture? How many want to know the bigger picture? Everybody wants to know the end game, right? Why? What am I going to gain out of this? Everybody wants to see that. It would be a whole lot easier if we could see the bigger picture first. If God were to show you a vision of how your service, no matter how big or small, impacted the kingdom. It'd be easier if God were to say, hey, Steve, I'm not allowed to do that. Patsy, get me. Dan, no, Joy, I got all three of them, boy. I'm in big trouble now, right? Listen, put your name in there. If God were to say, hey, you put your name in there. Look at these people that are here in heaven. Look at these people here in heaven. If he looked, you'd look and say, hey, look here in heaven. Because you held the ropes down there at Open Door Baptist Church in 2023. You see, because you shoveled the snow off the walks at Open Door Baptist Church, this person was able to attend church service. And them in doing so, they heard the gospel and gave his or her life to Christ. Or because you served, because you made up all those welcome packets, this person over here in heaven, right over here, you see that over there sitting to the lady with the gray hair? That one. Because you made those welcome packets up, and in that welcome packet was the plan of salvation, and after they read that, they contacted the pastor and they gave his or her life to Christ. Or because you organized all the educational material, all the educational information at Open Door Baptist Church, adults and children were able to learn about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You seeing the bigger picture yet? Or because you agreed to teach Sunday school to the babies at Open Door Baptist Church, a strong foundation was set for this person to one day come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And because of your service, this person is in heaven today. Do you see the greater good? Amen. Jesus Christ, salvation. But I got a news flash for you. God does not flash a photograph up on the screen for us to see. We wish he did, doesn't he? He doesn't flash a photograph up on the screen for us to see. Instead, you know what he does? He shows us through his word. He reveals to us the end game in His Word. And if we trust His Word, then we will get a glimpse of the bigger picture. Look with me at Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, 9 through 10. These are my life verses. This is what I sign when I sign my name. These are my life verses right here. Let us not become weary in doing good. There's days I want to quit. But what does the Word tell me? Don't be weary. Do not let us become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as we have the privilege, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Some versions will say to the household of faith, all right? Listen, let us not become weary, Open Door. Let us not become weary serving the family of believers. Let us not grow weary in serving Christ. Let us not grow weary in serving His church, because in the proper time, we will reap a harvest. But also notice, this service also goes outwardly out of here. I want you to notice in those verses, this service also goes outwardly out of here. Let me say that again. This also goes outwardly out of these four walls to all people. Now that's the picture God reveals to us. The harvest of those who will one day sit in heaven because we grabbed a hold of the rope and we didn't let go. Do you understand? I don't know. This is for somebody. I don't know who it is for, but this is for somebody. Do you understand that God may have put you in or allowed you to be in a situation that you would have never chosen for yourself? Do you understand this? God may allow you to be in a situation in your personal life, in your spiritual life, whatever. I mean, and you're looking and you're saying, I don't understand. I just talked to somebody this week that made this same statement to me. It says, I don't understand why God. You know what I told her? Very sympathetically as I could, as gracefully as I could, you know what I told her? Get in line. I don't always understand. I don't always understand the situation that God's put me in. I don't understand why things are happening the way they do. But I can give you the answer. I can give you the answer of why He's allowed this situation. And I just want to pull this back just from last week. You all remember when the Lord was talking, telling Ananias to go to Paul, and He says, and He told Ananias, I must show him all the things that he must suffer. Anybody there? Anybody there? Here's what I know. That wherever God has brought you to, and whatever you're experiencing, He's called you to be a witness to others. Amen. And He may have to put you in that situation that you don't like and you don't care for, because it's the only situation that He could make happen that other person will come to the point where they'll listen. I don't get it all. That's for you. Listen, we know that what these disciples, here's what I do know. We know what these disciples did not know, that Paul became undoubtedly one of the greatest proclaimers of the gospel of all times. And no matter where you're at, you can too. He became one of the greatest proclaimers of the gospel of all time. And the same should be said of you and I, even when we can't see or know what the outcome's going to be. By faith, in the midst of danger, they lowered. They served without question. Why?
because they shared the same hope in Jesus Christ that we, some 2,000 years later, share, the hope that rests in salvation. Because they were saved, and the hope that rests in that salvation, without question, they held onto the ropes, hoping and trusting that what they were doing would help Paul and the church and the gospel, and in turn, helping others come to the Lord. Do you know, one of the most high attendance days is the days that we have dinners. How important is to cook on that day? I don't care. But I tell you, before they eat physically, they're going to hear spiritually. You get me? Listen to me, Open Door. If this church is going to continue to move forward, if we're going to continue to move forward winning our communities and our families to Jesus Christ, we must have some optimistic, faithful, and dedicated rope holders. Or we won't move forward for Christ. We won't continue to grow as a church. You know when we're going to grow in church? When we grow in service. I went to a funeral this week, and the pastor who did the funeral made a statement. He said they brought a guy in, and the church wanted him, the guy to do everything. He wanted him, you know, preach three times a week, do Sunday school, do this, do that, do that. He said it'll never. He says the guy left. It'll never work. It killed him. Why? Because one guy is like the athlete on the field. He can't do everything. Right? Listen, that's we. It's we. We. We need people who don't care if anyone knows their names. We need servants that don't care if anybody knows their names. People who don't care if they get any recognition at all. People who are faithful and dedicated and who will hold on to the ropes no matter what the cost, even death. And people whose hope rests solely in the salvation of Jesus Christ. So I ask you this today. Will you be a faithful rope holder? Will you refuse to let go? First you got to grab a hold. Then will you refuse to let go? Would you be willing to serve Christ and His church by faith alone? Let me ask you this. Do you want your life to have purpose? Do you really want your life to have purpose? You want your life to have meaning? Do you want your life to be significant in the eyes of God? Here, let me ask you this. Do you want eternal rewards? You know that's forever, right? Do you want eternal rewards? You see, it's only the things, I want you to hear me very clear. If you're sleeping, wake up. It's only the things that we do for Christ in His church here and now. It's the only things that we do for Christ and His church here and now. It's the only thing that will hold any eternal significance or eternal rewards. Some people look at us and what we do in a service to the church or a service to God, and you think, they're nuts. Yeah, we'll see in eternity how nuts it is. You go ahead. You serve the world. Watch. Jesus said what in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20? What did He say? He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't go to work and get all your wealth to lay up on this earth. He says, don't do that. He says, don't do it. Why? Because moth and rust destroy it, and where thieves break in and steal it. Listen, if you have it, somebody else is going to want it, right? He says, but what? Verse 20, He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal it. Let me be clear. It's what we do today for Jesus Christ that earns interest, that is stored up for us in heaven in eternity forever and ever. It's what we do now. Listen, you're not waiting to see. You're not going to go up here and say, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Listen, you're either saved right now or you're not saved at all. It's not a judgment on the salvation. It's a judgment of what did you do with what I gave you for the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7 says this. God said this through the prophet Azariah, "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Listen to me, folks. Our labor is not in vain. That's what this is. Those days that you want to be weary, that you want to quit, that you want to hang up, listen, I want you to remember, your labor is not in vain. While it's true, we may not see or experience any type of recognition or perhaps even any gratification, right? Here. You may not get it. And yes, there'll be times when we experience weariness. That is true. Remember last week, what I said about Ananias, he told Paul, he says, "You're going to suffer. I'm going to show you. But listen and trust me when I tell you, you matter. Listen to me. You matter. You matter. You matter. You matter. You matter. Your service matters. You are of great significance. You have been called out by God for purpose, on purpose, for a purpose, right? You are of great significance for the cause of Christ. And to the buildup of his church. You have been called by God. You have a great significance. You are significant to God, and we all have been given the privilege to serve him. What an honor. What a blessing. Therefore, I want to put out something for you. Don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Grab a hold of the ropes right now. Grab a hold of the ropes and don't let go until Jesus returns for us, because someone's salvation depends on it. And you know what? It could be the person sitting next to you. It could be the person sitting in the aisle across from you. It could be somebody sitting in the two sections away from you. I don't know who it is, but I can tell you what, God has a plan for you and them. Someone's salvation depends on it. You know what else? Your service doesn't end here, remember that? It also goes out there. What does the Lord say? The harvest is plentiful. What does it say? The workers are few. The servants are few. I am proud of Open Door Baptist Church. I am. We have a lot of servants here that do a lot of things. But we can do better. Let's not get comfortable where we're at. Let's never do that. Because the moment we get comfortable, the next thing is going to be stagnant, and the next thing is going to be digression. Let's never be comfortable where we're at. Grab a hold of the rope. Refuse to let go. Why? Because God is using you to build his kingdom. Never let go. You are significant. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I preach this to the best of my ability, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you take the mere things that I said, but, Lord, that you would block them from the minds of the people, but you would give them what you want them to hear from your word, that you will move through your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I turn this service over to you. And, Lord, there may be some that need to dedicate their life into some way of service of this church. Lord, I don't know. Someone needs to come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. They need this transforming faith that will allow them to do that. Lord, I pray that they will step out and step to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We all please stand.
Open my eyes, let me see.
but would you and your wife come up here, please? This is Pastor Charlie Matlock and his wife, Donna. And
she's Christian.
I'm sorry, Donna, Christian. Yeah, right. Pastor Charlie Matlock and his wife, Christian. And these two are ministering at Riverview, or was ministering.
Was
ministering at Riverview. And I can tell you, this man gave all he had, and so did you. And he really did give all he had. And he had vision, he had purpose, he had all the right things. But for whatever reason, the church is pretty much has ended. So he's on his way to Florida.
Lord willing.
And a great ministry opportunities has opened up there for him. They sought him, he did not seek them. So, but here's what I want to do. I want you guys to come up here and lay hands on these two.
Amen.
All right? So come on. Come on, church. They part of the church right here. So let's pray for them. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we come. And Father, we come seeking your wisdom. We come seeking your guidance. And Father, we pray this for our brother and sister. And Father, we just know that, Lord, they are two servants that are sold out for you. Their heart is in love with you. And Lord, we know that you're in love with them. And so, Lord, you're taking them on another journey. And Lord, they don't know all that lies before them, but they know you are already there. They may not know what the future holds, but they know who holds the future. So Lord, we just lift them to you, to your throne of grace. And Lord, we just ask a very special blessing upon them, Lord, that wherever their feet go and whatever their hands touch, whatever request or prayer comes out of their mouth according to your will, Lord, that you will just multiply in blessing. Just like the scripture said today, because of their service, the kingdom will be multiplied. That is their goal. It's not about them. I know them. It's not about them at all. So, Lord, I lift them up to your mercy seat, to your throne of grace. Lord, give them the strength and the courage that they're going to need to move forward. Lord, I pray that your blessing will be upon them. And Lord, they'll be effective in their witness and Father and he and his preaching of the gospel. So Lord, we lift them up to you. We love them and we care for them. And we ask that you honor these requests in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Lord, we also pray for the members who are left there at Riverview. Lord, they are part of the church as well. And Lord, we just ask that, Lord, that you will lead and guide them as well. And that, Father, good will come from it. And the good it'd be for you. The vision, their vision would be for you and Father. And so, Lord, we lift up all those who are affected by this at Riverview Baptist Church, Lord, that you will give them a special blessing as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We love you, brother. You're welcome. Thank
you. Well, thank you all for coming. Appreciate you for coming. So listen, if you served here today, or if you did not serve here today, get out there and go serve Christ. Thank you for coming. God bless you. I love you. Hold on.
Next Saturday, men's breakfast.
8 o'clock.
This Saturday.
Now leave. Go.
Here I am.